the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Can you tell by our mood and our general personality how we feel? Can you tell that we're just happy and delighted to be here? Is it obvious to you that we are enthusiastic, that we are in high spirits, that we being spirits are spirited? Isn't it unusual that you call spirits spirited, yet we are spirits and we are in high spirits? And why would we not be in high spirits? What would the only thing in the world that could take our attention away from being high spirited?
Fear?
Nothing. We have no fear where we are. So there's nothing. We can only be in a good mood. We can only be happy. We can only be high spirited. And when we look down upon your world, we don't see any fear either. To us, it is all an adventure. There is no wrong. We can't see the wrong. We can't feel the fear. And so from that perspective, we are always in a good mood. We are always jovial and happy and delighted and enthusiastic and excited and interested. We are always above the line, above that emotional line. We can't dip below it. But you can dip below it. And how do you dip below it?
Negative emotion and fear.
Well, by paying attention to something that you think is wrong. Mm. Right? If you see something and you go, that's wrong, then all of a sudden you dip below that line. But if you didn't see it as wrong, you couldn't dip below the line. Because the only reason that you see it as wrong is because something about it causes you to feel a little bit of fear. Now, do you think about the fear that you're feeling? If someone pulls out, you know, cuts in front of you at a intersection, well, that fear, you could say, is rational fear, right? Because you could have hit the person, you could have gotten in an accident, you could have gotten injured, and then you feel angry at that person for doing something wrong. But really, what is really going on here? It's just that your attention is drawn to something that you think someone did something wrong or you did something wrong, and you feel like, well, that's my excuse to be angry. I'll use that as my excuse to be angry. But really, there is no excuse. If you think about it, there's no excuse to be angry. There's no excuse to drop down below the line. And you can maintain that high level of being, that emotional high that we're at, just by focusing on that which you like and allowing everyone else to do whatever else they want to do and understanding that it has no effect on you whatsoever. It has no effect on you. And why does it have no effect on you? Because no one else can create in your reality. Only you can think your thoughts. No one else can think your thoughts for you. Only you have the ability to choose what you put your attention on. No one else can force you to watch anything on TV you don't want to watch. No one can force you to say anything you don't want to say. No one can force you to pay attention to anything that you think is wrong. And no one can make you think anything is wrong unless you want to think it's wrong. So you have a choice. You can think it's wrong. You can think it's a problem. You think it could be something that if it was eradicated from your life, then your life would be better. Or you can just remove your attention to it and place it on what you prefer. Not the problem, because the problem is the other end of the stick. You want to focus on the end of the stick that you prefer, that you like, and leave the other side of the stick to somebody else. Because if you choose to see something as a problem, well, then you're just focusing on the problem. You're just focusing on why you think it's wrong. Nothing is ever wrong. It is always, always right. Have you ever heard us say that before? One of our best lines. So now that we're all in such a great mood, we're all focusing on what we're interested in. Who would like to start? Who would like to bring up something? Who would like to flesh it out a little bit more?
I would, Gary. This is Isabel.
Hi, Isabel.
Or Joshua.
Hi.
Hi.
So there was a lot of being the authentic self that was like the round table question, and a lot of us were dealing with that. But my question to you is, I was listening to one of the podcasts and you were saying, you know, just a little bit. So my mom is really negative and she has a lot of fear, and I can understand her perspective, but it's sometimes it's just too much. And so I try to like negate her and like get off the phone or deal with her in small increments, because I joke around, but she's a vampire. There's nothing that can, she's looking the for positivity me to make right her out of happy. Here. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, like it's amazing that she's very talented.
Yes. And she's had a lot of practice, and you've had a lot of practice allowing her to do that.
Yes.
So there's this energy that we're going to talk about between humans. And in a natural world, you would maintain your energy without pushing your energy or sucking the energy out of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
But in a real environment such as this, where you come in to play roles, you get to play around with this energy. And you get to either feed off other people or allow them to feed off your energy or gain control of them or allow them to gain control of you. And so the balance of energy is always lopsided depending on who you're with. It is very, very rare that you can be with somebody who respects your energy and allows you to have all your energy, is comfortable and authentic in their energy, and that doesn't want you to be different than you are. If you can get to that point where you don't want your mother to be different than she is, even though she wants you to be different than you are, she wants to suck you down to that lower level of emotional vibration, and it is a lot easier for you to fall to someone else's lower level of vibration than to maintain yours. And it's impossible for you to bring other people up. There's nothing you can do that will bring other people to a higher level of vibration, because you can't create in their reality. All you can do is inspire them to come up to your level. And with some people, that inspiration is just lost on them, because they have this momentum behind them and they feel quite comfortable in this negativity. In fact, if they were to lose that negativity, if they were to become more positive, they would feel extremely awkward. It would feel fake to them. It would feel completely unusual. For them, they would have to go up very slowly, just a little bit better, just a little bit more. So for you to want to come into her presence and instantly boost her up to where you are, and you can feel the difference between where you are and where she is, it's not possible for you to bring her up there. However, you can practice not being sucked down to her level.
Right.
Right. And isn't that what she's here for, essentially, anyway? Isn't she here to show you this fantastic example of misalignment or out of alignment or focusing on things that aren't in her best interest, or thinking about life in a less empowering way, or being limited, right? So you have someone right there, very close to you, who you can practice being calm with, being empathetic with, taking in small doses, not trying to change her, not allowing her to suck your energy. You get to practice this whenever you feel powerful. So you interact with her for a little bit, you find yourself being sucked, you hang up the phone, and you say, I left something on the stove, I'll call you right back. And then you call her back in a couple weeks when you get your energy back. And then you take her in small doses and small doses, and you practice and you practice and practice. And if you can do it with her, someone who's close to you, someone whose opinion matters, someone who's important to you, then it'll be easy to deal with the store clerk who's not in a good mood, or the employee who's not having a good day, or someone who's coming to work in your house who's trying to bring you down to their level. And you can learn how to change these subjects, and you will become a master at this. It's like working out. It's like doing water aerobics. You have someone there you can really exercise with. It's a great partner to strengthen your ability to maintain your focus. And that's really all you want to do. All you want to do is be able to maintain your focus without worrying about what anyone else is ever going through. Because you're not here to help them. You're not here to solve them. You're not here to create in their reality. You're here to live your reality and to become effective as that. And so this idea of authenticity is not telling her that she's wrong. It's completely the opposite of that. Authenticity is being okay with who she is. accepting mm-hmm. her as she is and not letting her suck away your energy, but not telling her she's wrong for doing that, just not giving into it as you have this momentum, this habit, this way of being with her. You can change that at any time. And we're not saying it's going to be easy to change, but we're saying it's possible to change at any time.
Well, you know, I've been practicing even before I met you folks was don't let her get my goat. Like I can go days, like very calm, but she's relentless. So
because she wants to get that goat. Like, that's her joy in life is getting your goat.
Yeah.
Right.
It is.
And she'll keep trying until she gets it.
Right.
Well, just give it to her and then be done with it. You don't have to hold on to a goat. Allow her to do it. Go right from the beginning. Mom, why are you so negative? You're bringing me down. Oh, my God. And then pop back up again. Let her get it. Pop back up again. Let her get it. Pop back up again. There's a lot of different ways you can interact with this person. And the easiest way is the non-resistant way. Instead of trying to pull this tug of war against her, go with the flow of her. Mm. Just try it. Now, there's so much momentum here that realistically, you could only go so far, we will say. However, in this practice with her, it just makes the rest of dealing with everyone else so much easier because no one's going to be that extreme of an example to you. Everyone's going to be so much easier. So if you can just play with her, be light and easy, not wanting her to change, not caring if you get upset or not, because you're perfect as you are. Doesn't matter if you get upset or not. It doesn't mean you're good or being better if you give her your goat or don't give her your goat or keep your energy or give your energy to her. It doesn't matter. You can't get any better at this. It's just all practice anyway, right? The only thing that you want to do is be aware of how you feel, how she's making you feel, and realize your attention is on something that you perceive as wrong if you feel negative emotion. But if you can go into it maintaining a higher like state as if you're just curious and not intending anything else but that, but to see out of curiosity how you can maintain your vibration in the midst of a tornado and without any attachment to any specific outcome.
She is our tornado.
She can be your tornado. So imagine being a tornado chaser and just going in and watching in curiosity and a little fear there because the tornado could turn on you at any time, but watching in curiosity how the nature of the tornado and how there's beauty in this tornado and how it's interesting that her life experiences has led her to become a tornado only around you, right? She's not a tornado around everybody. She's primarily a tornado around you because you allow a sort of safety net. Otherwise, she could be seen of in a way she doesn't want to be seen of. But with you, she knows that you're going to love her no matter what. So she could be this tornado around you. Is she a tornado around every single person she ever meets?
She a lot, but no, but I agree with that statement. She is a tornado a lot with a lot of people. And they're like, wow. And I'm like, I know.
Now, also remember, though, that how you perceive her is a result of how you perceive yourself, how you perceive how your combination of beliefs, your perception of reality, your vibration. It's different for every person. And how you think she perceives you is different than how everyone in the rest of the world perceives you, too. Everyone perceives you differently than how she perceives you. Each person perceives you, even you perceive you, in a unique way because it's the blending of her vibration, your vibration that creates this image of you from her perspective. And from your perspective, you have this image of her. And if you were to write a book about her and she wrote a book about herself, that would be a different book, completely different.
It would.
Yeah. So she doesn't see herself as being anything other than appropriate, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so now you can see her as just a tornado. You don't look at a tornado or a hurricane and have animosity towards it and wish it'd be different. You just get out of its way.
Okay. So I can get out of the way.
Well, if you're not practicing, you should get out of the way because you just do not want to allow her or anyone else to bring down your energy, to bring down your vibration, to bring down your emotional state of being. If you can't be around her and maintain a positive state, then you are welcome to avoid her until you can be around her. If you're around her for 3 minutes, then that's all you can take. Well, that's all you can take. And then you have an excuse to leave. You have an excuse to get off the phone or whatever it is. And you put yourself in situations that you know you can manage, because there's no point in putting yourself in a situation that you know is going to bring you down. That's just not effective. You're not here to be brought down when you know you're going to be brought down. You're here to maintain your higher emotional state of being as often as you can by whatever means is necessary. And just because she's your mother doesn't mean anything. All she was your porthole from non-physical to physical. Okay? Nothing else matters but your mother. You have no allegiance to her. You can never lose her. You were eternally linked. And if you abandon her without ever speaking to her again in the rest of your life because you can't be around her, well, that's perfectly acceptable. You owe her nothing. She owes you nothing. And when you get to the non-physical together, you'll look back on this and laugh. But since she's there and you have this, you know, it's like playing tennis against a wall. You're not going to change that wall. You're never going to beat the wall, but you can practice against it.
What does that look like?
That was so helpful. Thank you so much. That was so helpful. I'm sorry, whoever I cut off.
That's right.
What does the wall look like?
No, I was just saying, what does that look like when you're going in and you know somebody's negative and you want to keep your higher vibration and you want to play, you want to practice? Then so what does that look like?
You go in and you set your intention, you prepay for the event. You say, I'm going to come into this situation with this person that I know will try and push my buttons and get my goat. And I will have my goat on a long leash and I will allow my goat to go wherever the goat wants to go. And if she gets the goat, that's fine. I am not going to reduce my emotional state of being because I'm not attached to this goat. I could care less about this goat, right? My persona is not enhanced by her or diminished by her. I have no attachment to how she is being. She can be miserable and complaining and negative and focus on negative things. And I will look at her like I would look at a tornado. Interesting and unique aspect of physical reality that's swirling around based on plenty of experiences in the past. And I will choose to see her as this being of love, who she really is. I will choose to allow myself to feel whatever I feel. I will not get down on myself for being dragged down to her level. I will do my best to maintain a positive state. When she does drag me down, I will notice how I feel. I will realize there's some fear there. Later on, I can look back on it and practice analyzing the fear and realize it's irrational and know that she really loves me and know that everything's okay and that she can be how she wants to be. And I can practice changing the conversation. I can practice bringing up things I know she likes. I can practice, practice, practice. And when I can't take it anymore, then I'm out.
Okay.
Excellent. That was a very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very illuminating.
Mm-hmm.
So being authentic around someone like that is not telling them what they're doing wrong. It's allowing them to be who they are and allowing yourself to be who you are and choosing to leave if that's appropriate. That's authenticity. Inauthenticity is going along with her to make her happy so that she likes you. If you can remove this idea of her having to like you, of anyone having to like you, then you can be more authentic. You can be more who you are. You can say what you want to say. However, a lot of times you stop yourself from being who you authentically are because you're worried that they may not like you. They may not love you. They may get mad at you. Well, you're going to have to give that up if you're going to be authentic. To be inauthentic is just not to be who you are, and you cannot hold that fake notion of yourself for very long without people discovering it or without you getting upset that the attempts that you're making, you're trying to achieve by being who you are not, will not work. And as soon as you find out they're not working, then you're going to break down and get upset that people aren't giving you the love that you've worked so hard to get by being this different person than you are. Doesn't mean that you just say, listen, I can't be around you because you're so negative. You just say, I got to go. That's all you have to say. It's so simple from our lofty perspective. But we're not involved in the mix.
Basically, we just observe. We observe their behavior.
With a intention to learn, an intention to practice, and from a perspective of curiosity. All you care about is what's going to happen? How am I going to feel? How is she going to react? How am I going to react? Isn't this interesting? Let's see how this plays out. I intend to maintain my focus on what I prefer as long as I possibly can. I intend her to be happy and for me to perceive her as happy and to have a good time. And we will have a good time until we no longer have a good time. And then I'm out. That's all you have to do. Excellent. Good.
Good stuff.
One thing that helps me with that is seeing other people
just as a mirror, I've been thinking a lot about this whole concept of oneness. We are all one. So anything that I'm seeing in somebody else that I'm judging is just me judging myself, like they said. But when I'm just, that's how I don't know if detach is the right, but like step back and observe, I just see whatever, I use everything that they're doing, whatever it brings up in me to uncover the limiting beliefs. And then that in itself helps me shift my perspective. So that happens in an instant. So I find that I don't have to go like digging for the beliefs and finding the evidence because I don't know, it just changes.
Yes. This is a higher level thought that everything in your reality is a mirror to you. You understand that. You understand that your vibration projects out your mix, of beliefs and feelings and perceptions and attitudes and approach to life that is all reflected in your reality. And as you look around now, you are reflected back by this group of intelligent co-creators who are open and accepting of whatever we're talking about here, who are interested and who are all gathered as a community. And so in this perspective, you've created this wonderful mirror back to who you really are, who you authentically are, what you're interested in, what you're working on. And it's easy in this environment because this condition is very easy. You step outside of this condition and then you come across someone who's honoring and you say, this is a mirror to me in some respect. How I am feeling about them is how I am feeling about myself in some way, right? And it isn't a correlation direct. It is some nuanced way that takes a little bit more digging to figure it out. But that idea of it being a mirror, she is wanting me, my mother is wanting me to be so much different than I am. How do I feel about that? Oh, I want her to be so much different than she is. Mm. Right. So what I'm seeing in this mirror is that I want my mother to accept me for who I am. I want to accept myself for who I am. And I want her to accept me for who I am. And so if I can accept her for who she is, if I can allow her to be the tornado and me to be the one holding the goat as all okay, then I will see the mirror reflecting back that she accepts me as I am, or that even better, I accept myself as I am, and I don't have to be any different than I am. I can be the authentic version of me. I can accept her however she wants to be because it has no effect on my reality. Because she can't create my reality, only I can. So the beautiful thing about the mirror is that until you change, the mirror cannot change. So until you change your approach to your mother, you can't have her change her feelings about you. Gary was always trying to do things for other people so that they would appreciate him. He always felt like he was taking care of people, that they needed his help, and he was getting them jobs or paying for things or whatever. And all he got was abandonment and betrayal. And so by him being inauthentic, by doing things only to get this feeling of appreciation back, and then realizing that it's, not only is it not coming back, but it's coming back the opposite. He's feeling unappreciated, right? When he dropped that idea and just did what he was inspired to do, then all the appreciation in the world comes flowing to him. Mm-hmm. So it's the mirror showing you how you're feeling or what you're wanting and what you're not giving. And that was an excellent example.
Mull that one over for a while.
Excellent. Who's next? Jump in.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
Donna here. About the mirror, wanting and not giving. You gave me a really good answer last week about a question on manifesting money, which has made me think a lot and change completely my perspective about allowing rather than trying to make things happen. I thought that by applying my thoughts to my state of being, I could create the things I wanted instead of allowing the things I wanted. And it's really opened my eyes. I think it's something I probably didn't want to hear, but you just put it in a way that was so obvious. And I realized that I was looking at the wrong end of the stick on a lot of subject, which is probably why so many things are not moving as much as I would like to in my life.
The old approach to life, you thought, I can fix this problem. And once I fix this problem, I'll feel good. And then I can fix this problem. I can make this money. I can do this thing. I can get the success. I can get the status. And once I get all that stuff, then I'll feel good. And that's the old approach to life. the new approach to life, you realize that everything you want will come to you when you allow it, that there is no going out and getting, that it's only a process of peeling away the fears and pushing through those fears to do whatever you're inspired to do, not what you think will get you the results that you want. Only what you're inspired to do. You set intentions prior to your birth. And in these intentions, the massive of them, the huge, the 99.9% of them were general. I intended to experience abundance. I intend to experience joy. I intend to experience freedom. I intend to experience love. And you have experienced all those things. In fact, those things are abundant in your life. Then there's one or two, maybe three little tiny things that you intended to explore with more specifics, more nuances. You don't have to do anything other than be authentic, which means be who you really are, and allow those things to unfold. If you notice a problem, well, you're going to get stuck on that problem because the law of attraction responds to what you're focusing your attention on. You can say, I want money, 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 money. I think of all the beautiful things I could buy with money. I think of how free would my life would be with money. I can think of how abundant my life would be with money. I can think of all the great things money gives me. I can't wait for the money. When the money comes, I'll feel good. And this is the trap that is the misunderstanding of the law of attraction. The law of attraction isn't thinking about what you want. It's thinking about what you already have that's so wonderful. Focusing on what you appreciate, and that subject of your appreciation will grow. Let's say you have a neighbor that you can't stand. You don't focus on having the neighbor die or move or his house get blown away by the wind. You focus on the aspects of that neighbor that you do enjoy. The fact that somebody lives in a house next to you, whatever it may be, the little tiny things, how he keeps his yard nice, how the house is always painted well, how it's quiet or whatever it is. You figure out those aspects. And then the counterintuitive thing is that you think when you're looking at these aspects of somebody you hate in a positive way, that that's going to keep that person around. But that's not true. It's the aspects that you're looking at, not the physical person himself. The physical person himself, if you are thinking of getting rid of that person, well, then that person's going to be stuck with you. If you are thinking of, I really like the aspect of him keeping his yard mowed, how clean and neat he is, well, then that's going to bring out more cleanness and neatness and attraction, and you're letting the other stuff go. When you were jogging by and saw the cherry blossoms in full bloom, you were focused on this most beautiful aspect of a cherry tree in full bloom. And when you were thinking of it in winter with no blooms on it and just the branches itself, then you were thinking of it as less beautiful than the full bloom. But what we want you to think about is how beautiful the branches are when there's no bloom, equal to how beautiful the cherry blossoms are when they are in full bloom. This idea that everything is perfect as it is, because it is always in progress to leading to you what you want. You can't have a full blooming cherry tree in spring unless the cherry tree is dormant in winter, that sort of thing. Mm. And we think that you got a lot out of that imagery in that. And so when you start to move your attention from what you wish you had or what you think you lack or what you think is missing or what you think is wrong or what you think you could improve to saying, everything's perfect now. I don't need anything. In this moment, I am perfectly happy. I am not focused on anything that is wrong in this moment. So if I'm not focused on anything wrong in this moment, if there is no nagging fear in this moment, right now in this conversation, we can look at the vibrations of all of you. And if you are focused on this conversation, instead of in what's going to happen 2 hours from now, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen a week from now, just in this moment of this conversation, you can see that everything's perfect. Just sit with that for a second and realize that right now, wherever you are, you can see that everything's perfect. You're living in physical reality. You are in breathing air. You are talking to people. You are interacting in something interesting. Nothing could be better than this. Now, the next moment could be different, but it can't be better than this. It can't be any more perfect than this. It could be a different evolution of another moment of something that is also exciting. But in this moment, it's perfect, just the way this moment is, because this moment is going to lead to the next moment. And that next moment will be perfect too. And it'll just be this evolution of perfect moments. And if you can get into this idea that everything is perfect now, then that is the state of allowing. And when you enter that state of allowing, you realize that the universe is doing everything for you. And when it's time to act, you'll be inspired to act. You'll get an interest. You'll get an idea, and you'll just act on that idea. Gary had this idea. He's been having this idea of taking a trip to Europe and stopping along the way, traveling from one one-on-one person to another one-on-one person all throughout Europe. And he's trying to figure out how to do it. So he has this inspiration to call Astrid and say, Astrid, do you have a car? And they had this great conversation back and forth. And Gary's idea was to meet Astrid and then drive Astrid in her car all throughout Europe, running into one-on-one people. And Astrid said that she can't go on a train or a car or a bus or a boat or anything without throwing up every 5 minutes. So now he has to go and rethink this whole idea. But it was just this inspiration to reach out to Astrid and talk to her about this idea gave birth to this really fun conversation. And from there, it will lead to something else. And from there, will lead to the next step one, for instance. So there's nothing that Gary has to do other than to be patient and then to allow these things to unfold as they naturally will. So we're sorry to stop you. Keep going on with your question.
No, there's so many things we take for granted as well that we sort of miss the beauty of some very simple things.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that because you're designed to reach for more. You're always reaching more, and that is why you're here. If you were just to be happy with the conditions as they were around you all the time, well, you would never birth any desires, and you would never do anything but sit in the lotus position, beaming at the wall and receiving fun thoughts from your inner self. No, you came here to explore and to do more and to sift and sort and push through contrast and to give birth to huge, big ideas and big desires.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's good to appreciate what you have, but there's nothing wrong with wanting more. So what is it that you want?
What I want? I want a life of bliss.
A life of bliss. And how do you suppose that you find a life of bliss? What is missing from your life that isn't causing you bliss now?
Well, I guess my question is in how am I feeling contentment in the now and have that eagerness for more at the same time, in the same moment, because I can see the beauty in the moment, but I can also anticipate the enhancement of that beauty in future moments as well.
True. And do you have to do anything to enhance the beauty in future moments?
No, that's what I'm learning to do to allow it to come to me.
Allow it to come to you by enjoying the beauty of the moment now and realizing that you have birthed so many desires in your life already. All is now is a matter of allowing those to unfold. So by paying attention to how you feel, we would say start right there. Feel as good as you can, amp yourself up, connect to your inner self, maintain that higher perspective, allow yourself to be above that emotional line as much as you can, do whatever it takes to feel good, and then realize that it's all coming to you. Now, how does it come to you? It comes to you from inspiration to act. So you don't have to think too many steps ahead. You don't have to plan. You don't have to set goals. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You don't even have to have an idea of how this is going to unfold.
Right.
You don't have to think, what is my passion? I better be thinking about my passion. What am I going to do for money? I got to think about what I'm going to do for money. You do not have to do any of that. All you have to do is allow yourself to get into this high emotional state of being and then do whatever you're inspired to do, whatever is most exciting in that moment. What's the most exciting thing I can do now? Watch TV. What's the most exciting thing I could do now? Read a book. What's the most exciting thing I could do now? Blah, blah, blah. Ooh, let's send Gary an email and ask him a question. Let's send Gary an email and ask to be on the one-on-one live podcast. Let's do that. That's interesting. That's the next thing. Okay. Now, I don't know. He might say no. He might not answer my question. He might do this or do that. I'm not sure what we should do here. I guess I'm just going to do it anyway. Even though I feel my fears, I'm going to push through those fears because I realize they're irrational. And I'm going to do the thing I'm inspired to do. And then we'll see what happens. I'm not going to be attached to the outcome. If he says no, that's fine. If he says yes, that's fine. We'll go to the next step. And then the next step is you're booked to be on this conversation.
Cool.
And then now you have more fears. What if I ask a question that doesn't make sense? What if I ask it in the wrong way? What if other people want to talk? What if I never have a chance to talk? What if I take up too much time? All these other fears. You push past those fears. Those are all irrational fears. Everything works out perfectly. And you get to ask your question. And then you have more fears. And you push through those fears. And then the next thing will occur to you. And you just do the next thing. If you can get into this habit of taking the step that's right in front of you, taking the next step, doing the next thing that makes sense, not worrying about where it's going to lead you, not attaching any specific idea of what the outcome should or should not be, realizing that sometimes you will act on inspiration that will lead you right into a manifestation event where you will feel negative emotion, and then that gives you a chance to uncover this hidden limiting belief and to resolve that issue. Well, then life is blissful at that point. Life is blissful when you go with the flow, when you turn your little boat around and go downstream, when you don't make anything a big issue, and when you just maintain your focus on how you feel. Because inspiration comes from feeling good. Urges, compulsions, things that don't really align with who you are come from feeling bad. So all you have to do, we're not saying it's easy, but if you can maintain your focus on feeling good, then really everything takes care of itself. It's nice to have a higher perspective on what life is really about. Life is not about going and doing things and proving your worthiness and showing people how special you are. Life is about going with the flow and trusting that everything that you wanted to explore is unfolding for you. And the only thing that's holding you back from anything that you want is this idea that something wrong is happening, that it's not unfolding the way you think it should, that if you were successful, it would look differently. When you give up all that stuff, that's when bliss happens.
Excellent.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
We have never explained that better in the history of the world.
Never heard it better.
Good. Who else has something they want to pick on? Who's got an idea? Who has a thought?
Too many ideas.
Excellent. The more the merrier. So do you want to give us one?
Well, I had so many and I wrote them all down and I can't read my writing.
Isn't that funny how that happens?
Yeah. What's the first one that pops in your head?
Well, we were just talking about life, go with the flow, trust everything is unfolding as it should be. And that's a real challenge.
Yes, it is, because you want to control it, don't you?
Of course I do. Yeah, and you've got conflicting input from different people.
You never have conflicting input. You always have perfect input, because the input is always, always a mirror to what you're putting out. So
okay.
You're not even getting input. You're getting feedback. Everything is feedback.
Feedback.
Right?
Okay.
So how you are treated, which parking space you get, what time of the day you notice it is, all this is feedback to how you're being. When you are trying to control uncontrollable situations, you will feel like you're out of control. If you are trying to control the conditions so that you always feel good, well, then you're never going to face fear. You're always going to have limitations. You're never going to really move out of your box. You're never going to do anything interesting because you're always worried about feeling bad. You're worried about the negative emotion. So you try to control the conditions to make them look good. You want to make sure that people around you are nice. You want to make sure where you live is nice. You want to make sure your bank account has enough money in it. You want to make sure you have insurance. You want to make sure that you go get checkups at the doctor. You want to make sure that you eat properly. You make sure that your weight is perfect. All this stuff so that you don't feel negative emotion. But who cares about negative emotion?
That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
And the bottom line is fear of negative emotion, because you haven't been taught to deal with negative emotion. Negative emotion is nothing other than a feedback system. It's letting you know that your perspective in the moment is just not aligned with how your inner self is seeing the situation at hand. That's all there is to it. It's no big deal at all. You want to embrace negative emotion. You want to come to negative emotion. You want to let negative emotion come to you, and then you want to deal with it. When it comes up, you want to say, all right, my inner self thinks that something about this is good, and I think it's terrible. Where am I seeing this as bad compared to how my inner self sees it? And how could they possibly think it's good? How could my inner self possibly think this is good when I feel so bad about it? And then you say, well, there must be some sort of fear. So what's the fear here? The fear is that person's not going to love me, or that I'm going to run out of money, or they're going to be homeless, or that people will think badly of me, or that there'll be a dent in my persona. Some stupid fear that doesn't mean anything. It's not real. It's false. It's irrational. It's illusion. And you see through that illusion. You go, you know, this isn't affecting me now. I don't have to worry about this now. This is something in the future. The future can be anything I want it to be. I know everything's unfolding for me. I know this event happened for me. Let's take a look at it. Let's not ignore it. Let's not see it as bad. Let's see how it's good. And then that's the process of that's the art of analysis. When you're analyzing a fear, and instead of just accepting it as real, right? The worst thing to do is accept every single fear you feel as real. The best thing to do is determine if it's a rational fear. Am I going to get killed by this thing? No? Okay. It's irrational. It's false. So let's just move on and do what I want to do. Let's not worry about it, you know. And then if you can see everything as perfect as it is and everything that comes for you is for you, and that you can't make a mistake and you can't fail and there's nothing to worry about, if you can just let things go, you will find that your life will unravel.
Hello.
We're going to say unravel. Okay. Unravel as a ball of yarn that's all tightly wound, and you'll just let it go and you'll loosen up and you'll let everything unravel, and you'll stop maintaining control of anything, and you'll start saying everything is okay and it doesn't need your control or want your control. And the only thing that you have to control, and you don't even have to control this, is the thought you think. Are you meditating every day?
Most days.
Okay. So meditation is the practice not of eliminating thought. Mm-hmm. It's the practice of noticing thought and then replacing that thought with a more empowering thought or no thought at all. If you can do this during meditation, well, that's just the practice of it. So as you meditate, you are calm. You're listening to the words if there are words. You're listening to the music if there's music. You're listening to the noises if there is noise. And you notice a thought. Well, maybe it takes 5 minutes before you notice the first thought, and there's been a billion thoughts in that 5 minute time. But so you notice a thought. And then you say, let's see if we can move that thought aside or replace that thought with another thought. What you're doing there is you're actually changing your vibration. You're changing your vibration away from the vibration that attracted that thought, and you're changing it to a vibration where no thought can exist or where an empowering thought can exist. So everyone do this right now. Clear your mind and think of a machine gun. Hold the picture of the machine gun and now switch to a kitten. Mm-hmm. What you did was you changed your vibration from one of a machine gun to one of a kitten. It's a quite different vibration there, isn't it? Mm. Now, if you think that machine guns are bad and kittens are good, then you think that you went from a negative vibration to a positive vibration. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Machine guns are good depending on the use case. You, in a lot of situations, you much rather have a machine gun than a kitten. Depends where you are. Doesn't mean a machine gun's bad or a kitten's good. But we can tell that you like the image of a kitten better than a machine gun. So that's fun. But all you're doing is switching from one vibration to another. Now, if you prefer a machine gun, then you can focus on the machine gun as how good the machine gun is, and rather than the kitten. So if a kitten thought comes to you and you are like Gary and are allergic to kittens, then you can switch to be focusing on a dog, for instance, right? That's your power, is your ability to change your thought. And when you're changing your thoughts, you're really changing your vibration. You create your reality by maintaining a vibration. Vibrations are maintained by noticing what comes to you. As everything is a reflection of your vibration, if you get a parking ticket, well, that's a reflection of your vibration. If you get the first space in a parking lot, that's a reflection of your vibration. If you are receiving a thought that this person doesn't like you, well, you can remove that thought, not remove it. We shouldn't say remove it. You can't remove anything, but you can replace that thought with a better feeling, more empowering thought. This is how you create your reality to something you prefer. You have a thought that this person doesn't like you or thinks you're stupid or thinks you're inadequate or doing something wrong. You can switch it to a thought of someone else who does like you, someone else who does appreciate you, someone else who thinks you're competent, that sort of thing. You have control of these thoughts that come, so you can move to thoughts that you prefer. That's using the law of attraction. That's using your vibration to create the reality you prefer. You weren't ever taught this, so don't feel bad for not knowing it. No one ever taught you how to get along. There's some people who can naturally do this and some people who need to be taught how to do this. And that's what the one-on-one conversation is about. It's about learning how the universe works, learning how physical reality really works, and then choosing for yourself what you prefer by choosing the thoughts you prefer. And that's why meditation is such an important component in the one-on-one, because it allows you to realize that you're receiving these thoughts and that you have the ability to focus on no thought or focus on a more empowering thought.
And that's timely, because this morning I was trying to meditate and I thought, I'm just not doing this right. And then I knew that wasn't the right wording. And I thought, well, maybe if I just do it twice a day, I'll get better at it. And I could just hear myself scolding myself about it. And I had to really step back and say, let's start over. And the first question that came to mind, and I see that I wrote it down, was how do we talk to our inner self? Or how do we connect? What does it look like or feel like? Or
it feels like your own thought. When you, there's two people talking to you. There's your inner self talking to you, and there's your own self talking to you, your self-talk. Mm-hmm. Your inner self will always be loving, encouraging, pure joy, just like we are. Your inner self will always talk to you as we talk to you. Your inner self will always show you another perspective, never say you're doing anything wrong. You will say you're doing something wrong. You will be critical of yourself. Your inner self could never be critical of you. Your inner self could never do anything other than love you. So if you can talk to yourself as you imagine your inner self would talk to you, in a way that has, that is limitless, that has no fear involved, that's fully loving and fully accepts you as you are perfect. So you must realize right now that you are perfect as you are. There's nothing to fix. The way that you are learning to meditate is the perfect way to learn to meditate for you. The fact that we're having this conversation on meditation for you specifically, and for those who happen to be listening to this right now or in the future, it just shows you that there is no wrong way to meditate. There's no right way to meditate. There's no wrong way to do anything. So if you can think of meditation as a symbol of everything you do in your life, there's no way to do it wrong. The way you do it is perfect for you. So in meditation, you have, like you have in the rest of your life, this standard for performance and improvement. But meditation doesn't work that way. You can go your whole life with never getting any better in meditation because you did it perfectly the first time. If it changes, right, then it evolves, but it's not any better or worse than the first time you ever did it. If you enjoy it more, well, you're just getting used to it more. You just appreciate it more. You're just looking at the positive aspects of it more. If meditation becomes your passion, it's not because meditation is anything special. It's because you feel special about yourself while meditating.
Ooh.
Mm. Right?
That's
if
good.
Real estate mm-hmm. becomes your passion, it's not because you're interested in real estate. You just are more connected to your inner self. You're more aligned while you're doing real estate. Mm-hmm. If real estate is not your passion, it has nothing to do with real estate. It has to do with how you feel about yourself while you're conducting real estate.
Mm, thank you.
I can. That's great. I can feel that when I do have what I would consider a really good, deep, positive meditation. I'm buzzing and feeling
just appreciating
connected.
Yourself. You're just
I guess that's doing. What it is.
Right. So mm-hmm. it could be bowling. Okay. It could be meditating. It could be mm-hmm. fishing. It could be whatever it is. Knitting. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The passion is your ability to connect with the perspective of your inner self while doing some activity, right? So Gary...
Meditation is like knitting or whatever.
Like knitting or anything, right? Gary is tuned in, turned on, tapped in while he's obviously doing this, while he's typing our answers, while he's interacting on Facebook, while he's playing poker, while he's cooking, all these things, while he's renovating houses, while he's designing houses, while he's designing anything, all these things make him feel good, and he calls those things passion.
Okay.
All he is having a reason or having an excuse to look at something, feel that he's doing good at it, getting positive feedback because he's connected, and then using that as an excuse to feel good. That's all it is. And from that, he can get everything he needs out of life because it's not the thing that you're doing, is the connection that you have to source energy and to your inner self and to who you really are and to being authentic and all that sort of thing. Now, when he doubts himself or when he gets knocked out of a poker tournament or when he forgets to answer a question or when something, then he loses that connection and he doesn't feel good about himself. But then he is able now, after some work, to realize that it's not a big deal. get back on the horse, try it again. It's not the outcome that matters. It's the process and the activity that's what matters, because in that activity, he can find connection. So you can find connection in meditation if you take it a little bit easier on yourself. You can find connection in real estate if you take it a little bit easier on yourself. If you start to notice the good things, if you start to notice how good you are at everything, if you start to feel more in alignment, if your perspective is more in tune with how your inner self sees everything, you can feel better and better and better and better. And then things just start flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. And then you can allow more and opportunities will come and opportunities will come and more opportunities and more opportunities and more things will come for you and more things will open up for you. And if you say, I can push through this fear, this sounds exciting. I can push through this fear. It sounds exciting. I can push through this fear. And just all unfolds. It's just the limitations that you hold, that you place in yourself through fear. And through this, we will say, basically, misunderstanding of the role that negative emotion plays in creating the life that you desire. Embrace the negative emotion. When you see the tornado and you see that it is bringing up this negative emotion in you and you wish the tornado was different than it is, realize that that is just an irrational fear. Right. And all it is a mirror to how you're feeling about the tornado. Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anyone else? There must be somebody out there.
Well, let's explore this. If nobody else is going to go, is anybody else going to go? No? Crickets? Okay. So how I feel about myself when I'm conducting real estate. Okay. That's a zinger.
Yes. So you feel inadequate. And so therefore you say, real estate's not for me.
Yeah. Like I've been trying now for a long time. It just hasn't seemed to click, but maybe this is because I need to take this approach.
The approach that you need to take is that everything that you want can be gained out of real estate, that you are going to come into all the manifestation events you'll ever need your rest of your life through real estate, that you do not need to come into any more manifestation events ever again, because you do not need to be defined by real estate. In fact, if you can just see how perfect everything is unfolding and the little cog that you are in this wheel of transactions, and that you are attracted into any deal that you get yourself involved into or that you become involved to because you are the perfect person for that role at the time. And whether the deal closes or not, as we've said many times before, has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the dynamics of the fear of the buyers and sellers and what they're going through. And that you can be this beacon of love in there, and that you can express your love by being calm, by being confident, by allowing people to vent on you when they have nowhere else to go. All of the stuff that you think you don't like is all stuff we know you will be thrilled by when you realize how good you are at it. The only problem is that you tend to judge yourself on different standards. If I was a good salesperson, then I could do real estate good. I'd be better at it. If I was more of an expert, then I would have more confidence at it. But you're looking at it from this human way of what's good and bad, what's right or wrong. You're looking at these standards of, air quotes, excellence that you see other realtors have. Mm-hmm. They have big ads. They have fancy cars. They have teams that work for them, that sort of thing. Well, that is all completely nonsense. That is just there to make themselves feel good so they can feel connected. And they do feel good. And as they feel good, they feel confident in their role and their confidence shows and people feel good being around them. And they have this level of trust in people like that because people exude this confidence. But that's not your role. Your role is one of love in the transaction, one of allowing people to be who they are by helping them to soothe their fears, by letting them vent when they need to vent, by being a calm and patient sounding board, by being someone who does not intimidate them, right? So many people are intimidated in that process by the agents or the salespeople, because the salespeople are very salespeople-y. Do you know what we mean by that?
Yes, I do.
I don't like that. They are pushy.
I don't prefer. Yes.
Right. Pushy. And you are not. You are a being of love. You are a beacon in the sea of pushy people, because they all have their own fears that they just add into the mix. And especially the new ones have all these fears, and they add it. That's why it's so hard for new ones to get going, because their fears muck up these deals. There's enough fear going around with the sellers and the buyers, Now you throw the agent's fears in there and everyone else's fears in there. And if you can be the one without the fear, the one without the attachment to any outcome, the one without needing to be proven worthy by whether the deal closes or not, or by whether you get good feedback or not, has nothing to do with it, right? Mm. You can detach yourself from this entire inauthentic profession, and you could be the one who's authentic. Now, that's already done. You already are that person. The only difference is that you do not see the value of that. You see the value mm-hmm. of the old approach, the people who are judging and the people who are in fear and people who are defined by how many sales they have and all that crap, right? That's crap. Yeah. That's the old approach to life. That's not attaining this authenticity of who you really are. That's being inauthentic, hoping that by showing status that they can feel worthy. And some of them do. Some of them allow themselves to feel worthy until the bottom falls out of the market and they lose everything and then they don't feel worthy anymore. It's a false proposition, right? Huh. When you're defining yourself by what you do, by these outward shows of success, Gary was talking to people the other day about book sales, and he found himself exaggerating the book sales. And he thought, why would he do that? Because he wanted to be perceived as if he was more successful than he was. And this is a throwback. This is momentum from this old approach to life. And he realized how inauthentic that was, that it doesn't matter, that he's not defined by how many books are sold or by anything else, that none of that matters, that he's defined by the moments in time where he feels connection to source energy. And the more he's connected to source energy, then he can define that as success because that feels good. And isn't this reality really about realizing what feels good and then moving towards that rather than trying to make yourself feel good by changing the conditions around you?
I have a question about that. What you just said, spending more time being connected to source energy. I feel like I'm doing that and it's incredible. And what I think fears maybe are coming up is that I'm feeling I'm so connected to source energy that I feel disconnected from physical reality. Is that?
Yeah, exciting. Well, isn't that the definition of bliss?
It is.
If you were fully involved in a passion, you would not notice time. Time would lose its meaning. These conversations seem to go very quickly. Gary seems to write books very quickly. Everything happens. He loses his sense of hunger and sleep and things like that. Mm-hmm. That physical part of reality is not so dense when you are in bliss.
Right.
That's how you know.
So I feel like maybe like I have obligations and I know it's false, but just to the people in my physical reality who, I don't know, they like people when I'm in my apartment by myself doing things that I'm really excited about, everything outside of where I am, like my immediate physical reality ceases to exist almost until fear comes up. Like, oh, I remember, oh, so-and-so texted me. Oh, I should. Oh. Right. And then I don't know.
So look at last week when you forgot the call and realized it later and nothing happened from that, did it? You missed your obligations, but it all worked out perfectly, didn't it? In fact, it worked out better than before. It's this idea that something wrong can happen.
Right. But
if something wrong does happen, then doesn't that mean that that's going to create this desire for something else, something more? So even if you missed an obligation and it turned out to be something big, a big deal, and cause you angst and cause people to rethink things, wouldn't that just give birth to a new desire and launch you in another direction and bring something even better for that? So the idea here is that there's not any possible way that you can get anything wrong, that you could miss the obligations that you miss and you'll notice that nothing big happens from that. And that if you were to miss a big obligation, we're saying from this high emotional point of view, let's draw our line here. When you missed the obligation last week, you were in a high emotional state of being and you entered a manifestation event because you felt fear. So this is how you knew you were in a manifestation event. And as a result of the fear, you had a little worry and you had a little limiting belief. And the limiting belief that comes up for you time and time again is that you need to be identified as worthy by what you put out there, right? By your work. And the result of this manifestation event showed that it didn't matter that you were by those people. You were considered worthy anyway, that it had no effect on you. It had no effect on the call. It had no ramifications whatsoever. And it all came to you perfectly. And there was no downside. Now, if you're miserable and you're below the emotional line, well, then you might never do anything. You know, but we're talking about times of bliss. In these times of bliss, when you're only focused on what you're inspired to do, you'll be notified if you need to do anything. It'll come up to you. Your millions are looking out for you. You never have to worry about that. Yeah.
That's true.
So we say stay in bliss as much as you can, and then everything will take care of itself. And when you're staying in bliss, you're going to notice that things just get done for you.
Yeah.
And if you miss something that you're supposed to be doing, you'll notice that it just gets done anyway. Someone else does it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it all works out. Be in this high emotional state of being, be in bliss as often as you can, as much as you can, and you will notice that nothing ever will go south from that. Mm-hmm. All right. Who else is in Europe? Who else is on the other side of the Atlantic? Who's got another question over there?
I'd like to come back on that story of the books and Gary's sales and worthiness, because I find that, and Wendy's question, because I find that my persona is really attached to my work identity or my work title, and I'd really like to shake that. I'd love to be more in bliss, i.e. less focused on the work identity and therefore fear. How
just like Wendy, the only reason that your work is not your passion, the only reason is because you are attaching some sort of outcome to prove your worthiness from what you're doing.
Yep.
You simply said that my work has no relationship to my level of worthiness or my persona or means anything about me whatsoever, that all I am there for is to be this delightful bundle of sunshine and joy while I'm there, enjoy whatever I can while I'm there, figure out a way to have fun there, realize that the abundance that I derive from this fuels all these other things I get to do in life, that my interests are all fueled by this, that I can feel good by being there, that I'll feel much better by being in this environment and doing this work than I would being a nurse or being homeless or being a custodian. Or being a roofer, as Gary likes to say. A roofer in Florida is probably the worst job you could have because it's very hot up there on the roof. Yet they seem to be whistling and having a good time on the roof because they are not attaching anything negative to it. You are either in alignment or you're not in alignment. You either choose to focus on those things and release your attachment from who you perceive yourself to be in this role because it's meaningless, it means nothing, and you can just go be giddy at all the money you're getting for doing relatively easy stuff. You could just be giddy. Really? They pay me just to talk on the phone? I don't have to lay a roof or weed a garden or clean up a toilet?
I attach other people's
but you make view that all of up. Me. You make it all up. Now, they are trying to control you and you are trying to control them. They are trying to think that if they pester you enough that you'll do more or bring in more or be more effective or bring in more money or whatever that is, and you try to control them by being nice and making the calls and getting the deals when you get the deals and doing that sort of thing and showing up and all that stuff, and you're trying to control them to take it easy on you, and they're trying to control you to push you to do what they think, and it's all based in fear. The only reason they're pushing you is because that they think that this antagonistic approach to get you, you know, the carrot and the stick or the whip and the buggy is to get you out there producing more. Mm. And the more you produce, the easier that they'll feel about themselves because they'll have this sense of security, which is a mirror to you because all you want is a sense of security. But yet here you are in this job that you think you don't like when you could like it, that you don't think it's giving you security because you think that they're prodding you so much that they could ax you at any time. But then again, you live in France where they can't really ax you, but they could relegate you to this position of whatever it is that you might not like, and who knows what's going to happen. And so you're making it all up. And the funny thing is about this feeling of insecurity is that you are probably, of all the people we're talking to now, have the most security of anyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have noticed that I mean, I've realized I accept I do actually enjoy what I do. It's just this lack of confidence, but I enjoy it at the level I'm doing it at. But I do have this issue of
look at the mirror.
My pride being attached to it.
Look at the mirror and look at your level of confidence and then see your boss's opinion of you. And are they confident in your abilities?
Who knows? I don't know.
What do you think? Do you think they're confident in your abilities?
I think average.
As much as you think that
I'm as good as they can get.
You're as good as they can get, and you're
for the
and
price they're willing to pay.
And you're as good as you can as you think you are. So the more confident you think you are, the more confidence they'll have in you. Right. So don't wait for them to have confidence in you. If you can foster confidence in yourself by understanding your own worthiness and by talking to yourself in an empowering way and by looking at the evidence that's in your life that surrounds you and the brilliance that you are, if you can understand that, then the mirror will change. And a reflection that you don't like of your boss's, we will say, for lack of a better word, hostility or impatience or prodding or anxiety around everything's going on will just be different because you will feel different about yourself. So that mirror that you get from him will change as soon as you change your idea of yourself. And you have done that and you've gotten more money and you feel better than you did before and you are associate with with your colleagues differently now than you did before. And so all that's improving.
Yeah.
Yep.
I purchased, I'll finish with this today. I put on my screensaver Deborah Jo's quotes as a slideshow in office. So I have, everyone can see them, and I have Deborah Jo's quotes going, you know, it's like, sign Joshua, sign Joshua. I'm like, I don't care. I love this.
How many of them can read it anyway?
No.
It's all in English.
I can't even read it. It's too fast. I have to slow it down.
Excellent.
You're the office hippie.
Yeah.
I am. I'm the hippie.
What's going on in San Francisco? In the north?
Hey,
northwest?
Nothing much. A little foggy now, but it's the weather's supposed to get better.
Excellent.
I have a question about maybe Wendy's situation. Joshua, so when you're at a job and you said everything you need is in, let's say for Wendy's sake, in that real estate job. But how do you know when it's time to leave? When you're ready to do the next thing?
You'll be inspired to do the next thing. It'll be obvious. Someone will present you with an opportunity and you'll be so excited you can't wait to get to it. It'll be the most obvious thing in the world.
Sometimes that's mixed with the fear of where you are or also the fear of moving on too.
Well, most people,
not always.
When most people quit, they are saying that this job is not giving me the satisfaction that I deserve.
Right.
Which is the old approach to life. When you face a job that's not giving you satisfaction, is it the job or is it your approach to the job? What creates your reality, the conditions or your feelings, emotions, beliefs, fears, desires, all that? Your mix of stuff that makes your vibration creates the job. The job is just a mirror. So if you say, forget it, I can't take this mirror anymore. Let's get a new mirror. How's that going to help you?
Yeah. For me, when I, you know, years ago when I was working on instrumentals and beats, and I took that approach, like I was working on the beats and I wasn't really, it was hard. I would, you know, I'd work on a beat maybe for a week or two and put everything into it. And then I realized, well, you know, I'm making this hard and let me try to enjoy this and let me work on it so that I can enjoy that process and I'm being too hard on myself and I'm being a perfectionist and let me relax into it. And I tried that and, you know, actually, I mean, it probably got better, but I never was able to fully enjoy it until I got to the point where I moved on and I'm happy I did. Like, I'm happy, like, you know, I love music, but at the creation part, maybe just the way I did it while I was doing it all alone, it wasn't for me. And so I moved on and I'm happy I did that.
Good. So you have an idea of something you like to do. You love music and you think to yourself, you have this inspiration, let's create beats. And I'm also good with the computers, and so we can put them online and people can lease them and I can do all this stuff and I'm going to feel good once all my beats are out there. And if they get on famous songs and I can tell all my friends that my beat's in that song and all this happens, and then it's going to be so much fun and easy. And then you get to doing it and then you're critical of yourself. You're critical of your process and you drop behind that, below that emotional line, and you don't think about why you're down there. And instead of trying to get above that line, you say, well, this is hard. Maybe there's something else I can do. And then you reach for inspiration, and then you have the inspiration to do something else, but it's still a mirror. It's still a mirror to you. So the new thing you do, you might be excited for a while. You might focus on the positive aspects for a while. You might see how good you are at this new thing you're doing for a while, but you could have been doing that with the beats. And if it's not the beats, you could be doing it with business coaching. And if it's not business coaching, you can be doing it with anything you want to do. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. The idea, it doesn't matter where you are, because where you are right now is the perfect place to start whatever you're doing. But you have to find out a way to realize that the joy that comes from doing the work is the joy of the doing of the work and not of the result. The result of the work is meaningless. It's the process of the work, the process of what you're doing, that you can get everything you need out of that. And if you decide that you don't like the process, well, that's one thing. But if you decide you don't like the results, that's a completely different thing. If you say that I'm not making enough money in this, well, that is just looking at the aspects of this thing from a position of lack. And it's an abundance lack thing. It has nothing to do with the work. So if you were doing beats and if you felt good about what you were doing and it was enjoyable and it was easy, right? But for you, it's something, you could make something difficult, because you might say it's not going to be good unless it's difficult. Unless it's super hard, it's not going to be good. If anyone could do it, then everyone would be doing it. It takes a special kind of person who can do this stuff, and it should be hard. And the harder it is, the more proof it is that it's valuable. And so you can make it as hard as you want. And therefore, you can fool yourself into thinking it's valuable. Or you can make it as easy as you want. And you can allow it to flow. Gary has no difficulty allowing our works to flow. It is the easiest thing in the world. It's the most natural thing in the world. There is no issue with it whatsoever. So think about the process. Are you just enjoying the process or not? And
yeah, I mean, I didn't really enjoy the process.
Then you can move on to the next thing until you find something in the process that you like, that you allow yourself to do it with. Will you?
I mean, it was good for what it was. And I did, you know, sometimes it was good for what it was. And, you know, it lasted about 6-7 years and it was fine. And some songs, of course, I enjoyed the process more than others, but as a whole, kind of happy I moved on, because I was doing it. I was sticking into it, sticking with it to try to.
Excellent. So it's all about the process.
Yeah.
But it's not the process itself. It's how you feel when you're in the process, what you're thinking about when you're in the process.
Yeah.
And it could be anything. So you can feel insecure in any process, or you can feel totally aligned in any process. And we will say that you have way more control over this than you think. It's when you attach value to the outcome, when you finish a beat and you look at it and you're not happy with it, for whatever reason, be critical of it, and you don't think it reflects positively on you. And so you rework it and change it, or throw it away, or ball it up in a wad of paper, or whatever it is. And then now this is hard. It's hard to get it perfect. But then if you derive satisfaction out of that process, that's fine too. But you're just making it harder than it needs to be. Everything should be easy. This is a reality of ease. Everything is supposed to be easy. Nothing is supposed to be hard. Everything's supposed to flow. You can make it hard if you choose to, and that's completely up to you. And that's fine. You can do anything to any extent you want to. And if it makes you feel like something is way more valuable because you spent 300 hours doing it, then that's fine. But if it comes out in 2 seconds, if you would take a count of the greatest selling songs of all time, you would find that most of those songs came out in 5 minutes.
Yeah. I hear that a lot.
Yeah. Because it's the inspiration and the connection to source that flows the energy of it. It's not anything you're doing. You are never writing a beat, writing a song, writing a movie, writing a book by yourself. You are never even having a conversation by yourself. Ever. The only time you're by yourself is when you feel in despair. The pit of despair That's the only time you're really by yourself, because you've turned the flow off so much that it's just trickling out. It's still coming, just trickling out. And when you are high flying and enthusiastic and love life and feel like we feel now, happy and excited and joyful, well, we have the tap full turned all the way on. It's flowing and flowing and flowing. And so it's up to you to turn it on or turn it off, whatever you want to do. The more you turn it on, we will guarantee you, as long as you allow it to come, the flow will bring everything you need. There's nothing you have to do. And with that, as always, we are totally complete.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was great.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.